All right, well, good evening. Good to see y'all here, and anybody that's with us online, we're going to start out by singing, God is good. All the time, yeah. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans You have for me, my life is in Your hands, and through the eyes of faith I can clearly see that God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, Well, I found in the grace that flowed to me in my unrighteousness. This is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. And there is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. And there is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flowed to me in my unrighteousness. And this is why there is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven.
This is my
possessions, all my houses and my lands, everything I hold here in my hands. There is nothing that I own. I could lay here at your feet. No greater sacrifice that I could bring. Resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will. Resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come. Resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, let My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Through here his glory has been shown, and we still can't fully see the wonders of his might, his throne. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all the way through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to do a pick of him? 664? All right. Take my life, leave me, Lord, on 664. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Amen.
Yes, thank you very much, Jeremiah. Beautiful song picking today. Love those songs, don't we? Something that we can equate to. I appreciate Brother Lee giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. He is at Michael Westbury's church this evening. Michael Westbury is retiring after, what did he say, 46 years, I believe? close to maybe even 50 years, and he's going to be moving up to Dallas. I think he has family living up in there, so we wish him the well. We need to keep Mike in the prayers. His health has not been the greatest here in the last couple of years, and we need to lift him up. Brother Ronnie, would you lift him up this evening in prayer?
Lord, we lift up Mike Westbury to you, Lord, a servant of yours for many, many years, Lord, probably around the neighborhood of 50. His heart was definitely for you, Lord, and teaching us your word, Lord, through his eyes and through his heart, Lord, so we may receive it and to be more like you, Lord. So be with the pastor and all the celebration that we have tonight for his years of service, Lord. And may he would go to Dallas, Lord, and be with family and just give him that that peace and joy of just that comfort that you will give him, Lord, and you know, to be with his family and then with his health, Lord. Just be with him with his help. Heal his body. We pray this in your holy, precious name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Ronnie. We appreciate that. All right. Anybody have a praise tonight? Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad all you people online are watching us this evening. And at the end of our live stream, there'll be a number posted if you have any questions you would like to bring to Brother Lee and or know about Jesus more personal. Give that number a call. And that number can also be used to reach our school if any of you parents out there in live stream are wanting to know about some place that you can send your children and be led by the Lord with some godly ladies and men that are working over at the school. We do appreciate that. Now, prayer requests. I see that I have Sharon Fuller and, of course, Sharon Heibarger. Now, he told me that she was exercising on that leg. We gave her a week. How come she's not here, Miss Vicki? She's not on that leg yet. Okay, well, we obviously will keep her in mind. All right. What other requests we have? James, your mom. We always have your mom in our prayers. We appreciate her. We appreciate what you do for her. We obviously want to pray for our church as well as our school. Thank God for all the visitors this morning that we had. Really look forward to that. We missed you people that are out online. I know you're watching us, but it'd be nice to have you here in the fellowship. Give us a call and come on by and see us. What other prayer requests do we have, Ronnie?
Possible surgery, I don't know yet, but it's bothering me pretty bad.
Yes, that's right. Ronnie mentioned that this morning. Brother James, you want to lift that up?
Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we just raise your name up and glorify your name. And thank you for letting us be here this tonight and to listen to your word. Thank you for the word this morning. And Lord, we just lift up Ronnie to you as he's having a little problem with his eye. And Lord, we just ask you, your will to be done in that, to heal him. We ask a healing touch on him, Lord, and give him comfort and let him find out what the problem is. And you're the great physician and healer, Lord. Just heal Ronnie. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother James. Mr. Frank, good to have you here this evening. Always a blessing every time we see you. Any other prayer requests that we have? I'm sorry, ma'am? Your son-in-law needs his job, and his name is Jared. J-E-R. Okay. All right. All right. What else do we have? Okay, so what did we learn this morning in our Sunday school lesson? Anybody?
Forgiveness.
What?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Okay, yeah. It's actually been the word for the whole lesson through the last 6 weeks. And there is a possibility of forgiveness, right? Obviously, God has been good to us, right? Forgive us for where we were. And in turn, those that still are against us and the church, there is still forgiveness for them. All right? And Brother James, you want to open us in prayer this evening? Sir? Yeah, the other James.
Big James.
Big
Lord, we come here this evening to worship you again. We come here to worship you because we're so thankful for all your blessings and your guidance, Lord. We are here because we believe, and Lord, we ask that you just allow us to do things that are in your will that glorify your name, Lord. We ask you to bless our families and bless the remainder of the days of our lives, Lord. And we ask that you continue to provide for us and protect us and guide you the way you have been. We ask you to bless all the people in this place of worship and their families, and we ask that you bless the leaders of this place, Lord. And we just ask that your will be done in the realm of this church, Lord, and that you won't let the evil in this world mess with it and keep us all in good shape. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Brother James. I appreciate that. It's usually a problem when you have too many Johns. Now we have too many Jameses. Is that what it is? All right. Let's take a look at something, and that is about our promises that we have, or at least one promise that I think that is important to us, and that is our promise of eternal life. We're going to be looking in 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 5 is what I want to focus on. Okay. And there are products and activities that we know of that promise to increase our lifespan. Vitamins is one, right, James? I mean, you know, we take certain vitamins and helps us feel more energetic and makes our life a little bit better. The other thing is that we take doctors' reports seriously, okay? We all have had some medical conditions, and sometimes we've said, I'll be all right tomorrow. But, you know, it's not the way it should be. We need to go to the doctors and find out what we have to do. Our diet is another thing, you know, that we continue to strive for, eating the good, healthy food, and it's important to us. But we know also that this life isn't all that we were created to enjoy. And it's important that we understand that we were created for eternal life. And that's the promise that God has given us, okay? The life Jesus now offers us in his promises and he delivers. Isn't that great to know that every time Jesus makes a promise, he delivers? All right? Now, I know, listen, I promised to be somewhere Saturday. And guess what? I didn't make it. I had to call him and say, I can't make it. But when Jesus makes promises, he delivers them, okay? And the abundant life is what he offers us fully. So is your life abundant right now, James? How about you, Ronnie? Do you have an abundant life right now?
Absolutely.
You have one here on earth, right? But you are going to have another abundant, more than you can handle when you get to heaven.
Amen.
All right? More than you can handle. Now, John, in this book that he wrote in 1 John, points out to us the wonderful promise of eternal life. And it's important that we find out that here only through faith in Jesus Christ is that possible. Now, throughout the book that John is writing here, we know that he at one time had been a pastor in Ephesus, right? And he ran into some people in the church that were not following the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Huh? They just weren't doing right, right, James? They just were not doing right, okay? But what I'm going to try to focus on today is that we try as many things to try to make it right in our relationship, and sometimes nothing is fully satisfying. Maybe in our job, it's sometimes not fully satisfying. We need a job as a means to be able to be in Christ here on earth and use that skills that we have, as James mentioned in opening prayer, to amplify Jesus Christ in our life. So needless to say, we need to have that job or some means to be able to do that, okay? Here we see that this abundant life that Jesus is delivering to us, promises and delivers us, never ends. if I'm reading this properly here, the brief letter that John wrote here points out a wonderful promise of eternal life. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to focus on verses 1 through, what did I say, Jeremiah 5 or 7? 7, thank you, okay. It says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God." That's each of us, right? "When we love God and keep his commandments. And for this is a love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is in the Spirit that bear witness, because the Spirit is truth." Thank you very much. Amen. Lord, I ask that you be with me as I bring this little message today of encouragement, of the promise that God gives us about eternal life. Lord, may my words be your words, and Lord, that you will bind my lips of anything that is untrue, Lord. And we thank you for Brother Lee, and we thank you for what he's doing this evening in recognizing Brother Westwheel and his service to you, Lord. We thank you that he is able to gather together with his fellow brother and sister in Christ. And we ask that you bless Brother Westfield, watch over him, and guide him. We thank you, thee, in these names of you, Jesus Christ. Now, the apostle wrote this first epistle that we see in here to encourage Christians to remain true to his faith in Christ. And there was a group, as James mentioned earlier, there was a group of believers that were trying to split this church up, and they were trying to bring things into the body of Christ, the church, and they were trying to influence the people that were in the church about different things other than Christ. And it was very important, okay? Among some of these false teachings were that they were denying, one, that Jesus was the Messiah. Right? Second of all is that Jesus had come in the flesh, and the atoning nature of Jesus' sacrifice that gives eternal life to those who believe in him. So these were some of the things that John had to address in his message to the church. It was not the way it should have been. The eternal life promise that Jesus gives us bear witnesses many a times throughout the scripture. Now, I will be referring to some different messages in here that you can cross-reference on this. Jesus is the first century variation of the Old Testament name Joshua, and it means something. It means Yahweh saves. Yahweh is our salvation. And you might recall the angel that told Joseph what to name his child. You remember that? He said, "Give him the name Jesus," which means Yahweh. In Yahweh saves. Because he would save the world, save the people from their sins within the world. Now, Christ is not his given name in the Hebrew that we read here, that the English translation is actually Messiah, is what Christ means. Okay? It's not like James Trevesa. Did I get it that right the second time? Okay, let me go to the easy one. Yeah. You know, we all have a second name that everybody recognizes as being. Christ is Messiah. And Jesus was his name. All right? So here we also see, even when John the Baptist came around preaching the message, a lot of people thought, here comes the Messiah. But John stated something during this time that he was doing all this, right? Does anybody remember what it is? Yes, he said that somebody is coming that is greater than I. And you know, it's kind of funny, all the work that John the Baptist did, you know, he ought to get the acclaim, right? But no, he did not want to take that. He knew that Jesus was greater than he was. He was just a messenger. I see messages here. There's messages out there in the world that we're watching through the live stream that know Christ and should be John the Baptist's. Baptist's, is that a proper word? But you know what I'm talking about, proclaiming the word. Here is additional facts here. When John announced that someone was coming other than him, he mentioned something in that, and he would baptize. He would baptize in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I don't know about baptism. That's water. And when you put fire in water, it goes out. But how strong is it to think that Jesus was going to be baptizing and with fire? Putting a torch to your tongue, maybe, or a torch to your habits? So, you know, everybody says, well, I don't like to go to that church because they all talk fire and brimstone. Well, sometimes we need to listen to fire and brimstone to chase in our heart. And let us be aware of what's going on in here. Now, here John announced that someone was coming greater than he, and he would baptize. And also it says, when he saw Jesus, John proclaimed something at that time. You all remember that scripture, right? Behold, cometh the Lamb of God. So John took the recognition right away from him. What y'all been calling me, you know, that I, you think I'm the Messiah? John automatically said, here comes the Lamb of God, and baptized him. Now, the question was, if Jesus was sinless, why did Jesus have to become baptized? Does anybody know? He came as what? A man. He had to set the example for the world and be baptized as an example to the world, washing away of sins. Okay? So, you know, it kind of gives you chills. If he's that perfect, why did he have to be baptized? But Jesus knew what he was going to be up against. He had to set the example there. Here we see that after John baptized Jesus, something happened. A spirit descended from the heavens, it says, like a dove in John chapter 1, verses 29. Okay? And it remained on him and testified that he is the Son of God. Just knowing that, just what we've talked about tonight, just knowing that ought to give you chills. Ought to give you chills. But again, John was running into people within their own congregation that had lost that faith and said, no, that's not the way. There are other ways. No, Jesus is the way, the only way. John proclaimed something also, and the Word was with God in the opening of his passage, right? And that was that the Word was God and the Word was with God. I mean, John must have known, obviously, a lot more than what we knew. But his job was proclaiming, right? And in turn, we are proclaimers today. All right? Word was made flesh, and the Word says that it dwelt among us. Now, we know You know, we feel refreshed spiritually coming to church, right, Miss Vicki? We're ready to go out there, but we know once we get past them doors, the world can be a cruel, cruel place. And we have to have the armor on. Am I right, Brother James? We have the armor on, ready to fight the world. But it says that we are to be the proclaimer. On the evening before his crucifixion, Jesus taught his disciples, I come forth from the Father, and I am come into the world again, and leave the world, and he was going to be with the Father. That bewildered the apostles. What? Well, what's going to happen to us? Sometimes we have to step out on a limb, right, James? You know what it's like, Ronnie. Sometimes we just have to step out on a limb and do what God has told us to do. All right? The most likely interpretation about this passage that we see in here is about by water and blood. And the most likely interpretation that we see is that the water does refer to baptism of Jesus, while the blood refers, obviously, to his death. And this is what John was in writing down. The interpretation best fits the historical circumstances that we read that John wrote on here as to how Jesus came, was presented by John the Baptist as the Lamb of the world, and ended up dying on the cross and shed his blood for you and I. But in doing that, he has given us what we could not do for ourselves, and that was a seat with the Father, an everlasting love, an extra lasting love, and an extra lasting life continually. Now, you know, you look the word up, eternal. You are bewildered sometimes when you read it. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, we all drive vehicles. Some of the vehicles say 50,000-mile warranty, and you drive them for 200,000, right? And haven't had any work done on it, right, Mr. Frank? Transmission hadn't gone out yet, you know?
There may be one or two vehicles.
But it didn't come with a label saying eternal life, right? It did not come with that. If you're buying a vehicle and it says it comes with eternal life, I'm sure you're paying a bigger premium for it and a bigger payment. But here is something that's different. We know what we see in here. In the verses, John was warning his readers about false teachings that was going on in the church that we talked about, okay? And we can learn a lot about these deceivers. Why? Well, I'll give you some references in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4, verses 18 through 23, in chapter 3, verse 7. And in chapter 4, 1 through 6, the false teachers had been part of the congregation that John was the pastor of. They were there. The statistics say that even though we have a body of Christ here in the church, that there are people that claim to be members of our church that are lost. You know, they're doing the good thing. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. I contribute constantly. I'm a good person. Well, somewhere in the scripture it says good isn't good enough. It has to be saved. You have to be saved. John was making warnings to all the readers that when he wrote this letter, as well as the fact that what they were doing. The false teachers had left the congregation because they really were not what? They weren't true believers. It's kind of like the people that leave the church because the pastor talks too soft, or he talks too loud, or the music is too slow. Right, Jeremiah? Or the music's too fast. There's different, or they don't like the color of the carpet. Well, that's fine. Find a church that still is a Bible-believing church that has the right furniture and the right sound for you. Just be in the church. But that's not what was happening here. He called, John was so, I'm going to say furious. I'm going to use that word, furious. It doesn't state that in this. But he called them something. He called them a liar about the false teachings. Very important. Now, you've ever had anybody call you a liar? When you know you're telling the truth, what do? You stand up for what you say is the truth. Here, John was calling them a liar because, one, they denied who Jesus Christ was. It says in here that they denied even his incarnation. He ain't who he is. Where is this faith? What is that, Jeremiah? Was that me? I might have been my phone. I'll take my phone out. I apologize. All right. And John even called them liars because they claimed to know Jesus, but they refused to obey his commandments. Do we not take a pledge to follow in Christ when we are born-again believers? Obviously, what John was telling the readers here is that they weren't following Jesus' commandments and that they were liars again. Oh, yeah, man. Like, I gave to the church. Or I called all the people, made a show for themselves, but they were lying. And lying affects the heart. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about little tidbits that can get to you, eat at you, right? And what's it take away from you, Mr. Bickey? Joy, my favorite word. Jesus, others, and yourself. Right? We are supposed to be joyful as we become a son of the Father. Right? I mean, period. Why do you want to have somebody take your joy away? But they can. They know how to do it. The world definitely knows how to do it, right? The world is out there. You got a target on your back. Uh-oh, there's that Miss Bickey. There's that Christian lady. Let's go give her a hard time. Hey, Miss Bickey, I hear you love Jesus, you know. So what has Jesus done for you? You know? Well, how come he's giving you gray hair? Because he loves you. Ah, Miss Bickey, I can always depend on you having the right answers. He called them liars because they claimed to be who they were, but yet they were not obeying. Also, the apostles here that we're reading here were warned about the Spirit, that the readers were testing the Spirit. The false teachings who denied Jesus had came in the flesh. They were not of the Spirit of God, but they were of the spirit of Antichrist. I appreciate having, like I say, the opportunity to sit up here tonight. I will be accountable for what I have told you this evening, and I hope that God will have grace and mercy on me if I misled you in any way, but I don't believe I did. As I looked at these words, I thought it was very important. Notice in verse 7 it says, "For there are three that bear record, heaven, Father, the Word, and Holy Ghost." And these three are one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Word. Okay? We know that. Now, I don't know about you, but when there's more than one witness, usually they win in court. The court of the world. If there's an accident and you've witnessed it, you have a tendency to say, I saw it happen, and give a statement to the police department, which they in turn could use to show the guilty party. Okay? Now we have GoPros and cameras on our cars, and some of them, if you buy the right car, it comes with a camera already. Tacked into your cell phone and a constant recording of what happened. So what does it mean here when we read that Jesus came by water? All right? We understand that coming by water was that Jesus experienced this baptism in the beginning of his ministry. I think we had a question a couple of weeks ago in our Sunday school class, because you don't read anything about Jesus after, what, 12 or 13 years of age until his ministry starts. What was Jesus doing during that time? Preaching, you think? Refining his skills, maybe? Maybe in contact with the Lord as to what he is to do? I think there's a multiple of things that Jesus was doing during that time. We're talking adolescent. Listen, we all had children that were adolescent or have some. They can sometimes be a little bit difficult. But Jesus, I'm sorry? He had to be about his father's business. Very good, Miss Bickie. Yes, that is right. And then he started his ministry. Now here we understand that this ministry is the fact that in order to be Christ, to save people from sin, Jesus had to experience something. And we all know what that was. Experience of death. And it wasn't just the bodily death. It was the weight of you on his shoulders that he took to the cross. Amen. And we're thankful for that. Otherwise, we would end up being damned for hell on our death. And thank God for that blessing here. Now, the public ministry we know closed when his crucifixion came around. But in turn, he also worked with somebody, and those were the apostles, and they were instructed to go out and spread the word. You, in turn, in your born-again believer relationship, as I mentioned way earlier, is to go out and spread the word. Bring as many people that you know of that need the Lord and be a witness to them. Because Jesus came by blood, we encounter the following testimony at his crucifixion, and that is a supernatural event. 3 hours of darkness happened during his crucifixion. Another supernatural was the tearing of the curtain at the Holy of Holies. The other thing is the earthquakes. And how about the resurrections? In Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 54, we have a record of that, fulfilling prophecy that Jesus talked about. In Psalm 22, in verses 1 through 4, and in Psalm 22, 8 through 14, we hear of these prophecy. How about the miracle of the Roman centurion? The words that came out of his mouth as he died on the cross. Truly, this was the Son of God, recorded in both Matthew chapter 27. Jesus came not by water alone, but by blood also. I think of this, and what does these verses teach us about Jesus that we've read and that we have talked about? What does it personally mean to you in these verses? What type of reflection do you have over these verses? It's very important. I would like you to reflect on it this evening as well as from hereafter as to what Jesus has done for you in your life, what he has offered you, the promise of an abundant life eternally, a word that cannot be explained by numbers. Eternity is eternity. You know, they say pi, 3.14, is that correct, Jeremiah? Round it off. Goes infinity for a number. I don't have a recollection of what the ending number is, but if there is an ending number, that's pi. But Jesus has a number that never ends. Never ends. Thank you for Brother Lee for bringing us into Revelations. And we're up at chapter 18. Help me out. Chapter 18. Thank you. Thank you, James. I was looking for an affirmation there. Yeah, right. And what is going to be happening. And we're coming down to that. It starts in chapter 19 again about the last days. What we see on the news, I mentioned in my class, is nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket. Whether it's fires, earthquakes, shootings, or whatever, that is nothing compared to what will be happening. But thank God for Jesus giving his life for me and for you. I appreciate again having the opportunity to stand up here tonight and bring this just a small point about Jesus' ministry and about the promise that God has given us about that. Okay? Do I have any questions? Again, you people online, I would like to direct you to the end of the sermon and the end of the lesson that we had here. And there'll be a phone number there as well as a listing for you to contact our church as well as our school. If you have any questions, if you have any doubt, give Brother Lee a call. His number will be listed on there as well as the number for our church. Appreciate the opportunity to having us in your house. Thank you for you people that came out this evening. Be in prayer for Brother Westfield during his departure. And may he enjoy quality of life for the rest of his retirement. You know, he was a blessing for us and his lovely wife here at our church. And he's been a go-getter for the Lord. All right. Anybody have any word that they would like to add? Jeremiah, is there anything online that I may have missed this evening? No? Okay. All right, let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is giving us direction through your commandments, is giving us the availability to be ready for you to call on us at any given time to be your voice. You've given us the word. We're so blessed that in this day that we have the Bible that we can refer to, that we can look at and hear your word through reading it. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us by your death, by taking our sins away. Maybe we be worthy, Lord, of that honor. And Lord, prepare our hearts, Lord, to go out in the world and proclaim your name. And Lord, prepare us this coming week that we may be able to talk to somebody that needs to know more about Jesus. It's not about us, Lord. It's about you. We are just a small clog in a wheel that goes round and round. And give us the energy and the strength that we can talk about you. Talk about you and your true word and your true salvation. And thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us in your promises that we will have an abundant eternal life. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much for coming out this evening. Thank you for those that are online. Appreciate you.